evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. I'm Irene Watson, and I am the managing editor of Reader Views in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Victor Volkman from Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's October 11th, 2007, and welcome to episode number 46 in our series. Tonight's topic is Why Readers Choose the Book by Its Cover. And our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Patrick Snow. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Now, Patrick Snow is a best-selling author, international speaker, publishing coach, and internet entrepreneur. For more than 20 years, he has studied the field of personal growth and development. Patrick's Destiny message has been recognized in major newspapers, including The New York Times, Denver Post, and Chicago Sun-Times. His book and photo were also featured on the cover story in 2002 issue of USA Today. His message has been featured on hundreds of radio stations in North America and Europe. He's also been a television guest on Seattle's popular Northwest Afternoon Show. Patrick is the author of Creating Your Own Destiny, How to Get Exactly What You Want Out of Life, which has sold more than 125,000 copies since its first printing barely 6 years ago. Wow, that's amazing. This book is a success roadmap for high achievers. Patrick has been in business-to-business and high-tech corporate sales for more than 15 years. During this time, he has been tracking layoffs and worker discontent. As a business ownership advocate, Patrick's mission is to help others overcome their fears by turning their career distress into personal success through business ownership. Originally from the great state of Michigan, Patrick had graduated from University of Montana and now lives in Seattle with his wife and children. Welcome, Patrick, to our show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here tonight.
Well, I'm really thrilled you're here too, Patrick. And how I'd like to start off this program is to have our listeners go to your website, because you do have some covers that we're going to be discussing. So listeners, please take a moment and go to bestsellerpublishingcoaching.com. And I'm going to repeat that, bestsellerpublishing.com. And while the listeners are going to your website, Patrick, I'm just going to ask you a question. And what I'm going to ask you about, something very impressive, Victor just said, 125,000 copies. What author does not want to sell, or buy, pardon me, to sell 125,000 copies? Now tell me, do you feel that the cover has something to do with it?
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer that it comes down to cover design, title selection, and then marketing. And I'm certain that I know there's no chance I would have sold that many copies had the cover not been appealing and the title not been appealing. So absolutely, I think it all comes down to cover and title as well.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, because I think that that is really important. And as we know, there is an adage that says, don't judge the book by its cover. However, readers really do judge the book by the cover, don't they?
Absolutely. In fact, as children, we're taught by our parents never to judge a person by the way they look. But unfortunately, I think in the world of book publishing, that's the only way that a book is judged, is by its cover design and by its title and then by its back cover copy. And so I think studies show that we as authors have about 8 seconds to impress our readers or our book buyers, and that is, you know, maybe 3 to 5 seconds on the front cover and 3 to 5 seconds on the back cover. And if we don't capture their interest in that time frame, they're not going to open the book. And if they don't open the book, they're just going to put it back on the shelf and pick something else up. So I agree with you 100% that that's the only way, or the main way, that books are judged, and that is by the appearance, by way of that book cover design.
I'm so glad to hear that, because it's certainly that's what I do when I go into a bookstore. The first thing I do is pick up a book that's attractive. I look at the front cover. I look at the back cover to see what's there. And you are so right. So again, listeners, it's bestsellerpublishingcoaching.com. And hopefully we all had time to get onto the website. So, Patrick, let's just go to the first book you want to talk about and give us some pointers as to why that particular book is a seller.
Well, I want to start with the book right at the very top, Operation Military Family. Author is Michael Schindler. He's a former former military man himself, and he has been very much dedicated to the pursuit of saving the military family. And as we know, in times of deployment, many families are torn apart. And so his whole message is he interviewed thousands of people all over the country, found out what these folks did that kept their families together, found out what the other folks didn't do that ultimately led in divorce and, you know, kids being without fathers or whatever else. And his whole message with this book cover is he really wanted to capture the look, the feel of being an American, the image, the symbolism of an eagle with the flag kind of blended on the background. And he toyed around with this for quite some time. And finally, as my client, as you know, we talked about this earlier, is I help authors and writers and anybody that wants to get a book published, I help them through this 40-step roadmap that I've created. And one of those steps in that roadmap is I really highly encourage my clients to get a professional cover design done. So he attempted to do it on his own and had some limited success. And then finally he hired a professional to do it. And I think the Operation Military Family book cover is now much, much better than it was on the first few revisions. And as a result, just seeing that cover alone, I think people are going to be attracted to open that book.
Yes, definitely. And I noticed that this particular book has a subtitle. And I would imagine that is an important aspect of a cover such as this, too.
Yeah, in this situation, it's how to strengthen your military marriage and save your family. And I firmly believe there's really three or four main key ingredients on a cover design. Number one is title, and picking a good title is a whole other topic altogether. But number two, as we know, is subtitle. And then oftentimes I encourage my clients to use a tagline, which is just somewhat, you know, a spinoff of a subtitle. And then ideally, if they can get a blockbuster testimonial from a major celebrity or a major, you know, someone in the industry that everybody knows, then sometimes you'll see people having front cover testimonials planted right on the front of the book. And if it's a huge blockbuster name, then I certainly encourage to do that. But cover designs are very limited in terms of real estate. So I think it's hard to have a tagline and a testimonial. So it's usually one or the other. And in this particular spot, he's trying to get General Tommy Franks to endorse this book. And I think that's going to happen here very soon. And when that does, that testimonial will also make on the front cover of his book.
This is a beautiful cover. And I'm wondering, how much does one need to budget in terms of cover design? It's always been a mystery to me.
It's a very good question. You know, that's the first thing my clients ask me is, well, Patrick, what does it cost to get a book published? How long does it take? And in my situation, I did not have a publishing coach. I was kind of flying blind from 1996 to 2001. It took me 5 years and $20,000 to get my book done because I just didn't know what I was doing. Thankfully, I learned what worked and what doesn't work. And right now, I've got four different options for my client. I've got a high-end cover designer that charges $4,000. I've got another very great cover designer that charges $2,500. Another option is $1,500. And for those that are on a tight budget or a shoestring budget, I have a fourth cover designer that will charge $500 to do a cover design. So to answer your question, I believe anywhere from about $500,000 to $4,000. Obviously, the more expensive the cover design is, I believe the better the quality is. But all of them do a great job. The thing that I just try to encourage my clients to do is try not to do it themselves, or don't hire their niece or their nephew who's taken one graphic design class in high school or college and never done a book cover before. And so many people will spend hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of hours, writing their book, and then at the last minute they'll hire their niece or their nephew, pay them $50 to $100 to get a book cover done, and they themselves have never done a book cover. So I definitely encourage anyone who wants a bestseller book to definitely invest in a cover design. And if you don't have $4,000 to create a world-class cover, then you can still do so, you know, at lesser dollar values based on finding other companies that can do that for you.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Essentially, it's an art form which isn't really recognized, but you wouldn't hire the guy that painted your living room to do your portrait, would you, you know?
Exactly. Or you wouldn't do it yourself. You wouldn't attempt to build a house if you've never built a house before on your own. You'd hire a professional contractor who's built 50 or 100 houses. And so that's really the key, is find the professionals, pay them what they deserve to be, you know, paid, and then have them do a great job, and then make it appealing. Make it something that just really grabs the reader's attention and it pops out. And I think in doing that, it really sets the book up to be successful.
Now, I don't know if this is the right time to introduce it, but tell us a little bit about how the back cover goes together.
Well, the back cover is very, very important as well, because the reader will look at the front cover in 3 to 4 to 5 seconds, and then naturally they'll flip it over. And I see all kinds of errors on the back cover. Obviously, you need a headline, a sub-headline. You need a summary paragraph. Sometimes authors put a quote on there. You'll need some bullet points. As in this book, you will learn how to do A, B, C, D, and E. It's absolutely crucial to have testimonials, 2 or 3 or 4 testimonials on the back cover. Then an author photo, an author bio, a sales closing line, the ISBN, the pricing barcode, the ISBN barcode. And then the surprising thing, the biggest mistake that I see people make is they simply forget to put the URL or the domain name of their company on the back cover of their book. And wow. I think one of the biggest issues with doing that is all too often people from all over the world email me and or sign up to my newsletter, and I simply email them back and say, how or where did you purchase a copy of my book? And more times than not, they said, well, I never purchased a copy. I didn't have any money, but I was in a bookstore. I was interested in your title. I looked it over, and on the back cover, I saw your website, createyourowndestiny.com, and I went to the site, and that's why I signed up for the newsletter. So I'm a firm believer that the title is the number one thing on the book for the front cover, but for the back cover, the number one most important criteria is to put on the author's URL or domain name or website, because that's a definite way to build traffic to your site, and it's a great thing to go. The other thing to keep in mind is, and I know we're kind of getting off track here, but all too often I see too many people put their own picture on the front cover of the book, or they do it really, really big on the back cover of the book. If you're Madonna, if you're Cher, if you're Michael Jordan, if you're Bill Clinton, then you can certainly put your mug or your photo on the front or back of your book. But I think if you do it, if you're not famous like that, it's a kind of a dead giveaway. The book is self-published. So on the back cover, you know, you should definitely have a very small, small picture of you as the author of the book, and save the front cover for the reader, because that's what it's about. The book is about the reader. It's not about the author. Obviously, if the book is a hardcover, then many times that book image or the author photo would be kept for the inside back flap and not on the back cover. But as you can tell, like I said, I think the most important thing for that back cover are some really key testimonials, a good grabbing headline, subheadline, a summary paragraph, and then most importantly, include that domain name or that website so that those people will know how and where to get hold of that author.
You know, I actually had a book designer who I won't mention talk me out of putting the URL on the back cover because, you know, I had, you know, for more information, go to soandso.com, and this person asked me, well, why wouldn't they just open the book if they wanted more information? But now I know.
Well, I think my experience with all these people that picked up my book in a bookstore but didn't buy or didn't have money, they were easily able to remember it. And if the website is jammed somewhere on the inside portion of the book, they're probably not going to find it. So,
yeah.
Again, I think number one is the title. On the front cover, that's the most important thing, and on the back cover, the web domain name. And oftentimes, big major New York publishers, they don't want the author to have the URL or domain name on the back of the site. They want to have the publishing website on there.
Yeah.
So again, it's just another way that you brand yourself and you market yourself to your worldwide buyers by having that on there. So I think someone, you know, you can make a strong argument either way, but I'm a firm believer in the importance of having it on there.
Go to the next one, Mastering Your Choices. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's a really interesting cover.
Yeah, this is another author of mine. He's a self-published author, and he created this himself, and I think he did a fairly good job on his own. But I think the one that I'm most excited about is this next one that's coming out here very soon is Fly This Way. And it's in the third spot by Bill Boyer.
Beautiful.
The beautiful thing about this is this guy, Bill Boyer, he was a baggage handler for an airline, and he started inventing and creating these technologies and things to help save the airline money. And then eventually he sold the DigiPlayer product that he created to a company and made millions and millions and millions of dollars as a result of selling this technology. So Bill Boyer is a former baggage handler for Alaska Airlines who's now become a multimillionaire. And as a result, we had the challenge of how do you come up with a book cover to really match what he's doing. And he lives in Hawaii. He's now purchased his own airline. called Mokulele Airlines. It's an inter-island airline. And so fly this way. Basically, what we wanted to do with this is capture the essence of living in paradise, of jet-setting back and forth from the Hawaii tropics to the mainland, flying in and out of rainbows. And that's really what we did here. And if you look hard enough under the word fly, you can see that the American currency of the American eagle is blended in that as well. So this, I think, is a world-class book cover. You know, this is a $4,000 cover design. And I'm just really pleased with the way that it turned out. And I know he is excited about it as well.
Patrick, what about color? How important is color? I noticed that, let's say, Fly This Way, you've got the blue, which is it's a color that's very soothing. And then you've got the rainbow, and you've got the white writing. Let's talk a little bit about the colors that are important for a cover.
Well, I think what's really important here, and this really comes down to what the author desires, what colors are palatable to the general public. I tell people, you know, it's very, very important to match your book cover to your website colors and to your business card colors. Use the same color scheme throughout. And so what you want to do, if you're into purples and pinks, the problem with purples and pinks is oftentimes, you know, that might turn some people off. So I think reds and blues and, you know, these kind of colors, even some shades of green, are kind of neutral colors. So really I think it comes down to author's choice. But what you want to do, whatever you do, is just keep a very, very, you know, similar branding, similar colors, and so that it all matches. I had one client many, many years ago that he kept going back and forth on color on the cover of his book. And ultimately, I kept saying, well, look, your website, you know, is already one color. You need to create the book cover to match that. And he kept saying, no, I like this other color better. I said, well, if you like the other color better, then simply just change your website color, because your webmaster could probably do that for $50. Well, long story short of it was, he went with the color opposite of the website and then was disappointed later on. So it all comes back to the point that you just got to try to brand it and keep a similar color scheme throughout the whole process.
Points well taken, Patrick. Now, let's take another book on your website on this page. Which one would you like to talk about and point some?
I think about either Stairwell to Heaven or Plan While You Still Can. Both of those are very appealing.
Okay, let's do Stairwell to Heaven. Now, that's a busy cover. That's a real busy cover. But, yeah, it's appealing. So let's talk about how to be able to still do the busy cover, but yet have the space and the appeal to the reader.
Well, the beautiful thing about this book was that Earl Johnson, he's a 9/11 survivor. He was on the 51st floor of the World Trade Center upon impact. And this book is really about his story about the first 50 to 55 minutes that it took him to descend, 51 flights of stairs and make it out of the building with about 3 to 5 minutes to spare.
Wow.
And so he wanted to capture the image of the American flag, so you can see it's kind of a red, white, and blue theme. He also wanted to capture what it was like being in that stairwell, where he had all of these office workers, you know, going down the stairs. And then meanwhile, on the other side of the stairwell, you had these firefighters and first responders, you know, going up the stairwell. And so it really got to a point where, you know, it is a busy, you know, a busy cover. One of the things that he decided at the last minute, he got the fire commissioner of FDNY to actually write a testimonial about the book, and he felt that that was such a big name that he wanted to include that testimonial right on that front cover. And so it would have made it for a great back cover testimonial, but I think because he was the fire commissioner of, you know, FDNY, it made sense to put it there as well. So I think it's very, very well done. And again, if you look at the very upper left of the corner, you can actually see an image or a shadow of the World Trade Centers. So there's lots and lots of graphic design things going on that there's just no way that the average person could come up with this. This has to be professional, and it certainly turned out to be that way.
So is this an actual photo off 9/11, a stairwell, or was this a reenactment or digital?
This is an actual it's a reenactment of a stairwell at their local fire training center here in the state of Washington. And these are just friends of his that he was able to recruit. So they're just average people off the street, and he put them in the stairwell, and they took some photos, and they recreated what it would have been like to have been in that stairwell.
It's incredible. I mean, I'm sitting here with goosebumps because, of course, as I look at the book, the appeal is I don't actually see the title first, but what I do see is the picture. And already that grabs me because it's obviously something that there's drama and it's traumatic. And then, of course, then you go to the subtitle and it makes sense. So I'm really impressed with this one, too.
Well, I think you bring up a good point, and that is another mistake I see people make is their subtitle and their title, in terms of size of fonts, are so close in size that oftentimes people will put the title of the book at the very bottom of the book, and they'll put the subtitle at the top, and then the font size will be in such a way that oftentimes people will mistake the subtitle for the actual title. And so I'm a firm believer that either top to bottom or left to right, that you should always have the title to be in a much larger font and have that be nearer the top of the book, whereas the subtitle would be in a smaller font near the bottom. And there's so many books out there that do it the other way around, thinking that they are being real artsy and doing that, but then the problem is people mistake what the actual title of the book is, and it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important as well.
And this particular one, Stairwell to Heaven, too, is I'm seeing that there's a distinct focus to it, too. That, you know, where the eye appeal, there's an eye appeal that goes directly to a specific spot, which is really important.
Well, the unique thing about this story is these folks were stuck in the stairwell for like 55 minutes. They had no idea what was going on, no communication with the outside world. They didn't know that it was a plane. They had no idea what it was. And so at times they were like, okay, this is a fire drill. And then all of a sudden when that second plane hit and the stairwell rattled like it did, then they really were fearful, and then all of a sudden the jet fuel started spewing down the stairwell, and they had that terrible smell, and then they were like panic-stricken, thinking, oh my God, something's happened big time, and we're all going to die. And then there was just sigh of relief, and this clapping and screaming and yelling, and when the firefighters came up the stairwell, because they were of the belief that if these firefighters can come up from the bottom, then we can certainly get down. So the book is really really grips people, because there's all these emotions that these people had that we just sit and we saw on TV. And I think the graphic designer on this book cover did a fabulous job, recreating that feeling of what it was like to be there.
Yeah, that's definitely a knockout cover. That's amazing piece of work there. Let's try something that's always stumped me, which is covers that really don't lend themselves to a graphic treatment. And I see the next one down is If You Think You Can. What's the story behind this design?
Well, this design is the author actually did it himself. He's a big Mac user, and so I don't know that he's ever been trained as to being a graphic designer, but in this situation, this guy's actually already sold over 100,000 copies of the book. He's an inspirational speaker, motivational speaker. His book's been translated into a half dozen languages around the world, and the book has really, really done well. This is the first vision of his cover, and since this first version of it's come out, he's changed a couple, two or three times, and he's done really, really well with it. And so I think in his situation, because he's such an artsy kind of person and has such a feel or flavor, builds his own websites, and is kind of one of those self-taught computer people, and a tremendous, tremendous speaker, his title, I think, came out very, very well. And it's not that often that someone can design their own title and have the success that he's had. And I think this is an exception to the rule.
Yeah, definitely, because, I would have put this in the, $1,000 plus category easily.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing that I've come across, and that is, you know what, no matter what the book cover looks like, no matter what the book is about, what I've learned in this business over the last 12 years is that some people are going to like your book, some people won't, so what next? Someone else is reading. I mean, when my book was first published, I sent it off to a PR firm, and I sent them some money, and they sent me my check back and said, your book is terrible, it will never sell, you need to look to do a new career. And I remember getting that rejection letter back, and I thought to myself, okay, I have two choices. I can either accept this person's opinion of my work and stop pursuing this goal, or I can disregard it altogether and continue pursuing that. And that's ultimately what I chose to do. I remember crumpling up the letter, throwing it away in the garbage. And since that time frame, we've sold 125,000 books, translated into Russian, into Spanish, into Greek, into Indonesian, sold the rights in India, in Nigeria, Korea, all over the place. And so it all comes down to this point, is that some people are going to like your book cover, some people aren't. So what next? Just keep pursuing your passion and keep going after that. The key thing is, though, to really try to, hire the professionals, pay those people that are professional book critiquers and see what they can do to improve on that. And I think that's what I've tried to do with my book, was say, look, I don't know anything about cover design, and because of that, I'm just going to hire a professional to do it, and then we can kind of go from there. And I've tried to improve my title. I just came out with a new 7th edition version of my book. We've tweaked the cover now. We've done a raised, embossed, gold foil lettering that I think looks really sharp. And so it's an ongoing process of continuous improvement. And in this case here, with If You Think You Can, the next version of his book cover is even better than this one, and I think this is a great cover. So it's all about continuously improving the product.
Wow, that's great. I mean, because often in this business you think about cast your die and then you're stuck with it, but really the case is, I mean, you can always retool, right?
Well, I think you bring up a good point, and that is I'm a big fan of what Dan Pointer teaches. After my book was published, I had the luxury of hiring him as a coach. I spent a couple hours with him. And he said, the problem in this business, Patrick, is that most people, they write a book, they promote it for 2 or 3 months, and then they abandon it and give up. And then they write another book, write it, and promote it for 2 or 3 months, and they abandon it and give up. And as a result, the majority of people at the end of their book writing career will have 6, 8, 10, 12 books done, and not a single one of them have sold 500 copies. So the advice that he gave me was, Patrick, you need to write one book, one hallmark book, one book that stands as your platform that you can, promote and coach and consult from the rest of your life, and then every year of your life, update that book with new revisions, new chapters, new information. So my book came out 7 years ago at 140 pages, now 7 years, and only 10 chapters. Now 7 years later, it's now 16 chapters, 320 pages, and has a new cover on it. There are some other alarming statistics out there that says the average author only sells 671 copies of their book. The PMA reports that 98% of authors will never sell more than 2,000 copies of the book. So people ask me all the time, Patrick, when are you going to write your second book? And I said, when I sell 1 million copies of my first book, then I'll start on my second book. And the point is, the self-publishing industry is a tremendous, tremendous model, because once you have success with your book, you can sell out the rights to a major publisher at any time, and you can attract a much, much higher advance than you would if the book didn't have that proven track record. And so that's really what I try to coach and teach my clients to, is to write a great book. And then instead of promoting it for 6 months and then writing a second book, update that book every year and turn that book into your lead-generating tool that brings you speaking engagements, coaching clients, consulting opportunities, and continue to use that book as your platform to stand on and build an information empire from that. I mean, the bottom line is this. A successful book is 5% writing and 95% promotion. It's kind of like giving birth to a child. The mother incubates the child for 9 months, and then we as parents, as mother and fathers, we spend the next 18 years of our lives raising that child. So we need to do the same with our books. We need to raise that book, to promote that book, to do something every single day the rest of our lives to promote that book. And it all comes down to having a great title, to having a really, really flashy, catch your eye, a very strong and significant book cover. And then the number three most important thing is, after cover design and after book title, I think is having a great content book. But all too often, people, they cut corners on the cover design, and as a result of that, they might have the best, well-written, most thought-provoking masterpiece of a book written, but because the cover design is less than desirable, the book never gets opened. And so that's really why I'm so glad to be talking to you guys today about cover design, because it is, I think, one of the most important things in this process.
Yeah, that's some great points you made there, and certainly Dan Pointer takes his own medicine. His book is in, 14th edition last time I looked in it. He's always updating the cover design from one edition to another. And what you said, flies in the face of what a lot of people have told, some people have told me that, or the idea that self-publishing kind of soils the market. But actually, it can be a stepping stone to being picked up by a larger house, as you just mentioned.
Well, the reality of it is virtually every author that's out there, from Spencer Johnson to Zig Ziglar to John Maxwell to Tony Robbins to Les Brown to Mark Twain to Rudyard Kipling to Henry David Thoreau, all of the big named authors of today, whether it's personal growth and development or whether they're novel writers, Stephen King, almost every single one of them got their start as a self-published author. And then as they had success and traction with their book, they were able to attract the attention of a major New York publisher, and as a result, they eventually sold the rights. I've got a friend of mine that sold 100,000 copies of his book and then ended up selling the rights for over $4 million, and he was a self-published author. And so the point of it is, my system, I coach my clients, self-publish the book first, promote it day and night doggedly for as many years as it takes, sell, you know, turn into a bestseller, and then be open-minded to offer that book for sale to a major publisher and demand a big advance. And when you do that, great things can happen. So I think that's what it's all about. And then the cool thing is, if you go that route, you're going to be in the driver's seat. If you don't go that route, you know, I have another client that spent 10 years getting rejection letters on book proposals from agents in New York, and finally said the heck with it. He gave up on the process, and I said, why not self-publish? And it's something that never crossed his mind. And so, you know, you could make an argument that there's too many self-published authors out there, but I firmly believe that, you know, that's where we all kind of get our start, and we all got to, you know, grasp that and recognize that that's the same way that everybody got their start in this business.
Wow. You know, that's just a lot to take in, and I'm so glad that you're talking to us, Patrick. I just wanted to briefly go into how to actually develop the title of the book, since that is such an important aspect of the book. You know, as a writer, we go through all this writing, and gosh, we can come up with 10 different titles. How do we choose that one specific bestseller title out of the 10 that we can come up with?
Well, that's a very, very good question, and again, other than cover design, that's probably the most important thing. When I published my book 9 years ago, well, probably 9 years ago, I was approaching the publishing date, still probably a year and a half away, and originally my book was going to be called How to Create Your Own Destiny, and I was dead set on that cover, that title for years and years and years. In fact, probably 5, 7, 10 years, I was going to go with that cover, or that title. The problem was is that I knew nothing at the time about creating an award-winning title. So what I did is I went off and I hired a company, and I hired this company to help me take this vision of a title and turn it into an award-winning, best-selling title. And what I learned were there's basically three different rules for creating an award-winning title. First off, number one, you should never under any circumstance use the word how-to in your title. The reason is there's probably 25,000 books on Amazon right now that start off with how-to. A how-to statement should be saved for your subtitle. So with that being the case, we eliminated how to create your own destiny, and now it was shortened to create your own destiny. The problem with that was that there wasn't enough action in there. Mm. And so as a result of desiring to have more action in it, we added an ing. And that's really the first real principle for creating an award-winning title, is to have an action word. You know, creating your own destiny, mastering your choices, overcoming chaos, beating adversity, something ing, something something. By having the ing in there, it really shows that it's an action verb, it's an action book, and the book is about action, and it's a process that we go through. So, secondly, no matter what the book title is, if you cannot secure the domain name, then under no circumstance should you use that book title. If you cannot get the domain name, then you can't use that title. Now, I ended up eventually publishing Creating Your Own Destiny, and I secured createyourowndestiny.com and creatingyourowndestiny.com and about 20 other titles that were similar. The reality of it was, in Russia about 3 years ago, somebody published a book titled Creating Your Own Destiny. And people email me all the time and say, are you disgusted with this person? Are you upset at them? And I'm absolutely thrilled and tickled pink that they've used the same title that I've used. Because every time they promote their book, when people search for it on the Internet, they end up on my website. So you must secure the domain name. If you can secure the domain name, then you can go with that title. So rule number one is use an ing something something. Make it an action title. Rule number two is that there are all kinds of sayings out there, songs out there that people are very, very familiar with. Like I think it's Aerosmith or Mick has a song called "Walk This Way" with Mick Jagger singing about walk, you know, walk this way. So we did a spinoff on "Walk This Way," and the company that we hired to use this, they came up with "Fly This Way," the entrepreneur's guide to making a fortune. How does a, you know, CEO of an airline, how does he do business? Well, he flies this way. Another one was, there's the song by, I think it's Led Zeppelin, which is Stairway to Heaven. So everybody knows the song Stairway to Heaven, so that's how we came up with Stairwell to Heaven. So you take a common phrase, a common, you know, a theme that everyone's heard, whether it's a TV advertisement, a song, or something else, and then you change one or two words. And in doing so, that's another great way to come up with a great title. The third way is kind of more of an abstract formula. It's kind of like having, you know, the one-word titles, like the word Blink. Well, Blink, it's a great book, sold millions of copies. Well, what is Blink about? Well, that's such a great title, I need to find out what the book is. Or the book Purple Cow. Now, for example, Purple Cow, what is a purple cow? There's no such thing as a purple cow. Well, Purple Cow is a book about marketing and how to be different from all the other cows out there. And so if you have one-word or two-word titles that are appealing and cause people to think, that's another good way. So, again, there are three different formulas that we use, and I learned all these formulas from the company that I hired, and that's an organization called RightToYourMarket.com. Right to Your Market, Susan Kendrick and Graham Van Dixhorn. They are the experts in creating award-winning titles, and everything I learned from them, and that's really helped me having, you know, creating your own destiny as my book title, as opposed to how to create your own destiny.
Wow, action words. How important is that? Common phrases. I want to talk about taglines. You had mentioned earlier, too, that we should have a tagline on the front cover. How do you develop a tagline?
Well, I think the title speaks to the head. And Graham says this all the time, the title speaks to the head, the subtitle speaks to the heart, and then the tagline is there left to kind of fill in the blank. And so my book, my tagline is a success roadmap for high achievers. What is creating your own destiny about? It's about following a success roadmap for high achievers. And so a tagline, and I'll just read some of my clients' taglines just to kind of give you an idea so that people can understand what it is. Oftentimes it's a roadmap, it's a blueprint, it's a guide. And so, you know, here's one. A parent's guide to raising a special needs child. Here's another one here. Let me just find some of these, and I'll read these off to you. A home-based business owner's guide to getting rave reviews. Let me find another one here. An architectural roadmap for successful investors. So you can see oftentimes the tagline. Here's another one. A wealth preservation guide for keeping your money. Another one, change your thinking, you'll change the world. Here's one for leveraging your banker, a buyer's financing roadmap to home ownership. So oftentimes a tagline is just help the reader fill in the blank. So it's a roadmap, it's a blueprint, or it's a guide. And then oftentimes the author should include who that book is for. In my case, it was for high achievers. Sometimes it's for homeowners. Other times it's a parent's guide. So it kind of defines what the target market is. And in doing so, it further is just another step in the process of appealing to that market, appealing to that niche, and really grasping that reader.
Oh, my head is spinning. gosh, this has been great, Patrick. Victor, do you have any last-minute questions here?
Well, I wish we could stay on for 4 hours. But
no kidding.
This has been a great, great show.
Wow. Well, gosh, thanks a lot, Patrick. I just... I'm looking at my piece of paper here, and I have so many notes because you have been talking so fast and giving us so many different pointers that I'm going to have to re-listen to this a couple of times before I'm sure I get it. So I just want to remind the listeners, your website is bestsellerpublishingcoaching.com, and the book covers that we spoke about are there, and I know that when they go to that website, you've just got tons of stuff on here.
And also, I just want to throw in, if any of your listeners are looking for some help with their book, maybe they've already got a book published and they haven't had success selling it, I can help them do that, and I will offer any of your listeners a free 30-minute publishing consultation or book promotion consultation, and they can call me direct at 800-951-7721. Again, that's 800-951-7721, or they can email me at patrick@create.com. Your own destiny.com. And it's been a thrill to be on with you guys. I really appreciate your time today.
Well, gosh, a free 30-minute consultation. My goodness, I can't imagine anybody refusing that. Thanks again, Patrick, and we're just so happy to have had you.
Irene and Victor, it's been my pleasure, and I hope to be back again sometime.
Oh, yes. You've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back on October 17th, 2007, when our topic will be The Myth of Writer's Block, and our guest who will be joining us is Mark David Gerson. You can learn more about all our guests on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson in Austin, Texas, signing off.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.